the name of the one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, when I was in school, I studied French. Canada is officially bilingual, and French is compulsory from kindergarten through grade 9, and I took it all the way through the end of high school. I didn't enjoy it at the time, but it's come in quite handy throughout my travels. I didn't enjoy it because French is not a particularly easy language to learn. It has 12 verb tenses that English does not have. And I learned very quickly in my travels that really you only need 3, past, present, and future. Now this came to mind the other day when I was thinking about Advent, because Advent also has 3 main tenses. Now with Christmas decorations already up, it's easy to forget that Advent is the time of coming. Advent is my favorite season of the church year, but it's also the hardest to keep in the midst of the world. And the Latin word Adventus means coming. And Advent is not only a time of preparation for Christmas. Let me say that again. Advent is not only a time of preparation for Christmas. Today's gospel reminds us that Advent is also about the next coming of our Lord. At Christmas, we celebrate the advent of Christ past tense. He grew up like us, he died like us, he had a mother, relatives, friends, and foes. He worked as a carpenter. He called people to follow him and directed them into new ways of life in a land long ago, far away. And we believe in him. We gather every Sunday in his name. We commit ourselves to the belief that he is real. He is someone that we can love as we love other people that we have known in the past, people who are no longer with us. But the coming of our Lord, past tense, is not all. We also await the coming of our Lord, future tense. He will come again in glory to judge the quick and the dead, we say every Sunday. The most worthy judge eternal who rends the heavens and comes down, the judge of the world, the judge of me. Now, I'm not entirely sure that I want to meet the one who knows all there is to know about me. At some point in the future, known only to God, I will face the absolutely just judge who sees through my glibness, my excuses, and my evasions. And he will know exactly what I deserve. And he will render the fairest judgment on my life, guilty. But as Christians, we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior. My judge is also my Savior, praise God. We look forward to the full verdict, guilty but forgiven. This is the source of our hope. The coming of Christ in the future tense, when he will come in might and his arms shall rule for him, his reward is with him, his recompense before him, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in his arms. The Bible ends with the prayer, Amen, come Lord Jesus. And that is our prayer as well. Now, if we focus only on our Lord's future coming, there is a great temptation to become complacent. after all, we've already waited in joyful hope for 2,000 years. And after the first 1,000 years or so, things tend to lose their urgency. But anyway, the future is an abstraction. The past, well, we have some idea what that was like because we've lived it. But the future, that's a daydream. My speculations about meeting the Lord are mere guesses. And so there's a temptation to sit back and forget. And that's why the most important coming of Christ, perhaps, is not in the past or in the future. The most important coming, perhaps, is the now. The time in this mortal life, his coming present tense. He comes to my time and in my life. The ironic thing is that this present coming is the hardest to recognize. We can read about the past in the Gospels and about this future coming no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. Our Lord's coming in the present is both present and hidden. It's too present, too quick. Jesus sneaks up on us, demanding instant recognition and instant response. That's why he warns us, watch, you don't know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning. Watch, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. It takes a watchful person and a ready heart to see him. Now, Jesus' coming, present tense, is in the community of faith gathered together at Mass. Whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, he says. He comes to us veiled under the appearance of bread and wine. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread, says Scripture. Jesus comes to us in what the English priest and poet Gerard Manley Hopkins calls borrowed faces. He is the person looking for help. He is the child lost in the crowd, the lonely neighbor, the family member across the table, the husband or the wife that you share your life with. He comes in the child who asks a penetrating question and the adult who gives a wise answer. He might be a poet, a politician, a pauper, or a prince. He comes in so many disguises that we miss him more often than not. And when Jesus comes to us in the present, as he does, he looks for a real, practical response. Not emotion, but action. Jesus says, show me. And he means it. The coming of Christ 2,000 years ago, the coming of Christ at the end of time, means nothing if I don't see him and love him in the present tense. If I'm too hard-hearted to hear his words of comfort and challenge. If I'm not ready and willing to see the Lord today, I have a real reason to fear seeing him at the end. This Advent, in the midst of all the distraction and the busyness and business of the holidays, may we look for him, be ever ready to meet him, to be ever ready to love him, the Lord, who has come and will come again, and who comes even here and now.